the Reverend Belva Brown Jordan, holds a Bachelor of Arts and a Master of Divinity degree from Texas Christian University, is an ordained minister of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. She was formerly on the national staff of her denomination, where she served as, for a time, as Director of Racial and Ethnic Educational Ministries, and then as Director of Youth Ministries. She served on several committees and boards throughout the country, working in the area of multicultural education, including serving as a term as the chairperson of the Multicultural Education Committee of the National Council of Churches. Professor Jordan, before she began her journey towards ordained ministry, was a special education teacher in the public schools in Texas. It is perhaps her journey toward ordination that leads her to the current position she holds here at Lancaster Seminary. Professor Jordan understands herself, as she reports it to us, and I understand it myself, understands her calling to be one who is called to share with others in their journey toward and in ministry. And already, I know that the students and faculty colleagues of hers, already in the relatively short period in which she's been here, she has shown herself to be an exceptional companion in all of our journeys in ministry. Perhaps what makes Belva such a fine companion is a blend of three things: a blend of gentleness, faithfulness, and courage. She puts one at ease right away with her gentleness, helps us take who we are and what we do more seriously by the faithfulness to God that she demonstrates and bears in her person, and inspires confidence, I think, for many of us to explore new learnings and possibilities by the example of her own quiet courage. Courage demonstrated by such an odd decision to journey to such a foreign place as Lancaster Theological Seminary, where she now lives with us in tremendous grace. Sisters and brothers, I am pleased today to introduce to you the 1993 Charles F. McCauley Lecturer, the Assistant Professor of Field Education at Lancaster Theological Seminary, the Reverend Belva Brown Jordan.
Good afternoon. Shortly after arriving at Lancaster Theological Seminary last fall, I received a call from Don Cooney, the Vice President for Development, saying, "Have I got a proposition for you? Would you like to do the McCauley Lecture in the spring at the Alumni Day celebration?" Well, one of my rules I wrote for this period of my midlife crises that I am in was never say no too quickly. I quickly said yes. Well, immediately after our conversation, I began to think, maybe I should add to the never say no rule and never say yes too quickly. The next thought was, what is a McCauley lecture? Well, a few months later, my telephone rang, and it was Don again. This time, I was ready. The rule book was open to never say no without thinking and never say yes too quickly. As it turned out, there was no proposition this time. Instead, Don wanted to know the title of the McCauley lecture. I was still trying to figure out what a McCauley lecture was, how long did it need to be, and how much time I had to worry about it. I told Don I needed a week to come up with a title. In the course of the week, I found out that a McCauley lecture is like a homecoming speech for alumni. The lecture needed to be between 30 and 40 minutes in length, and that no amount of time was sufficient to worry. A number of suggestions for a title were called to my attention as well during that week. One LTS alum suggested I title the lecture, Why I Am the Greatest. Well, feeling that that lecture is given much too often, I decided to pass on that idea and take a more modest approach. Then I began to reflect on who I am, where I am, the people I interact with each day, and the ones coming home to hear this lecture, and I began to sing. I began to sing one of those old Negro spirituals that flow from my soul without a thought being given. Then it came to me. I am in a community of faithful people who are with their lives singing to the glory of God's name. Singing to the glory of God's name. At the end of the week, a memo was sent to Don with the title, Singing to the Glory of God's Name. The memo also noted that the other title that was a top contender was, What's a Nice Girl Like You Doing in a Place Like This? (Parentheses) A Disciple of Christ, Spirit-Filled and Faithful, close parentheses. Well, I am here today to share with you stories and singing about the faithful coming home, not in order to proclaim my greatness, but because I too attempt to be faithful with my life by singing to the glory of God's name. Let us pray. By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, O Lord, we sat down, and there we wept, when we remember Zion. On the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, O Lord, we sat down, and there we wept, when we remember Zion. O Lord, they carried us away to captivity, and they required of us a song. Tell me, how can we sing a holy song in a strange land? Oh, yes, they carried us away to captivity, and they required of us a song. Tell me, how can we sing our holy song in a strange land? So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. All right. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. All right. Amen. Music. The universal language, the thing that calms the savage beast, a mode of expression for every generation and every culture, a channel lovers use to express their passion. Music can arouse us to fight one another and stand in solidarity with each other. Music, a gift God gives. An art form of expression, a skill that many strive all their lives to perfect. Music is a reminder of what has been, a creator of hope for the present and vision for days to come. It is a salve for the pain and sorrow of this world, a companion for lonely days and nights in the wilderness, and a form of celebration for life. Music is an instrument for ministry, given even to one like me to use for singing and proclaiming the marvelous acts of God throughout history. Music helps us tell our personal and collective stories and discover our common pathways. Music lifts me up and gives me voice to sing, always to the glory of God. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long ways from a home, a long ways from home. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Such a long ways from home, a long ways from home. True believers, a long ways from home. I know I nest in the arms of God. I know I nest in the arms of God. I know I nest in the arms of God. Such a long ways from a home, a long ways from home. I'll always sing to the glory of God. I'll always sing to the glory of God. I'll always sing to the glory of God. Such a long ways from a home, a long ways from home. True believers, a long ways from home. Home. Home is where the heart is. Home is the place you live. Home is where you hang your hat, the place where you find comfort and joy, a place where you face challenge and pain, a place where you find nurture and support, a sanctuary from the ills of the world, and a place where some meet the ills of the world head on. It is a place where building blocks are laid and we are influenced or shaped into the persons we ultimately become. Home is a place we eventually leave to create new spaces called home. It is a place to which we can return, but where things will never be the same. After high school, I moved 32 miles away from home to go to college, from Dallas to Fort Worth, Texas. After 4.5 years at Texas Christian University, I moved on and I taught school for 5 years in Killeen and A-Leaf, Texas, even further away from home. During that period, I married. I shared a hospital room with my mother during the last 5 months of her life. I gave birth to my daughter, Toni, and I divorced my first and only husband. Then I returned to Fort Worth to study at Bright Divinity School at TCU to earn my Master of Divinity degree. Toni was 4 when we arrived, and 4 years later, graduation was followed by ordination, which was followed by packing up the car and leaving Texas for the first time in my life. We drove over 1,000 miles away to Indianapolis, Indiana, Disciple of Christ territory. 6 years later, last fall, we moved to Lancaster. Every time we have the opportunity to return to Texas, Dallas or Fort Worth, things are not the same. The cities have changed, the people have changed, and we have changed. For the place I left as a child, I return as college and seminary grad, a mother of a 15-year-old, an ordained minister, and now an assistant professor. Because I bring something new to the place is different. So often I feel a long ways from home, at least 39 years and over 2,000 miles away from the place I was born. I am a long ways from the place I knew as home, the city and neighborhood close to where my brothers and sister still live. The place where my mother and father told us lots of stories about our family. The place where relatives, friends, and neighbors were always in and out unannounced, and there was always enough food in the pot to feed whomever happened to be around at mealtime. The place I remember as home was full of music, full of laughter and love and challenge and protection, full of people from all walks of life. I remember home as extending far beyond the doors and walls of the house where I lived. The church was an extension of that home. The people there offered as much love and care and support and discipline as did my parents. And because of church, home even extended into the city where we lived, where we tried to influence some social transformation in a broken and divided time. Our house, that place that we called home, was full of God's presence, reflected through our parents, both ordained ministers with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and both now deceased. The music of their lives told us stories about our ancestors and how our family came to be. I will forever be fascinated by all the births, deaths, adventures, and paths that had to cross in order for me to exist. From the stories, I learned that all people who are created in the image of God, that all people are created in the image of God, and that it takes each of us throughout all time to become a full expression of God's creation. That means that the story is not over yet, and you and I and all who came before us and all who will come after us are needed in order for the whole story to be told and known. As I stand before you in this season of midlife, I am a long ways from home. I am aware that this homelessness I often feel is part of what it means to be a person of faith. It may be that I began to have a sense of this faithful call long before midlife, years and years ago. I remember watching my grandmother plant seeds in her garden one day. I approached her and asked, "Big Mama, where do we come from, and why is this our home?" Big Mama's hands were covered with dirt. She paused and turned toward me and answered, "My dear child, why, we come from Africa and Ireland and America before it was known as America. And this is our home because this is where we live." I came back with another question, "But how can we come from so many places?" Big Mama could tell from the sound of my voice that a short answer would not suffice. So she rose from her knees, brushed most of the dirt from her hands, and slowly moved to the porch swing. I needed no invitation to follow, for I knew when Big Mama sat in the porch swing, a fascinating story was not far behind. Big Mama began, "We come from so many places because our ancestors come from all those places. You know how I plant seeds each year in my garden? Well, some of those seeds sprout and bloom here, while others get carried away by the wind or birds and get dropped somewhere else to take root. Our journey to this place we call home is just like the journey of those seeds. Now, the first thing you should always remember about our journey is that you come from God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that is within it. God has been around a long time planting and scattering seeds. While at the moment you were conceived by your mother, God planted a seed. And before you, God planted lots of other seeds in Africa and Ireland and this country, and their journeys come together in you. Seeds were brought from Africa to the United States, carried by our ancestors involved in the slave trade between 1619 and 1833. Those slaves were settled in the South and planted new seeds that were carried sometime after the Civil War to Texas. Seeds were brought from Ireland to the United States in the 1800s, carried by our white Irish ancestors, who became indentured servants in hopes of having farmland of their own someday. Eventually, your great-grandfather, on your father's side, moved to East Texas, married one of your African-American ancestors, and began the Brown family. Seeds were also scattered across this country by your Native American Cherokee ancestors. They were here long before Columbus sailed the ocean blue, farming and planting seeds for the future. Your Cherokee ancestors were a civilized people who owned houses and large herds of cattle, and like some of the European immigrants, had Negro slaves. They were among the five civilized tribes who lost their land in the Southeast and were forced to move to Oklahoma on the Trail of Tears around 1838. Your great, great, great grandmother, my great grandmother, who was full-blooded Cherokee, married an ex-slave, and the seeds from your mother's side of the family were planted and scattered. So you see, my child, you are African and Irish and Cherokee and American all rolled into one. Just like the wind and birds pick up some seeds and scatter them far from where they are first planted, the seeds of our ancestry have been moved by the winds and will of God across time and space to this place we call home. This story of faith from the place I once knew as home will always be with me, for I am a long ways from home, a long ways from Africa and my slave ancestors, a long ways from Ireland and my white immigrant heritage, a long ways from the Trail of Tears and the Indian Territory and my Cherokee ancestors. A long ways from Dallas, Texas, where my sister and brothers are. A long ways from Indianapolis, Indiana, and my disciple companions. Such a long ways from home. Almost homeless, except I can sing. Sing to the glory of God who brings me home, even to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So what's a nice girl like me doing in a place like this? I am here because Annabelle Prophet, our associate dean, her husband Chuck Melchert, and our dean, David Greenhall, had vision, gave encouragement, and insisted I consider coming. I am here because Peter Schmeichen and the Lancaster Theological Seminary's Board of Trustees invited me to be here. I am here because God said, "Have I got a proposition for you?" There's a mountain range I want you to cross. My response, "But what's on the other side?" Lancaster Theological Seminary in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But why there, Lord? And why us? Why now? Well, it's only been 6 years since you called us to move to Indianapolis. Is it time for us to uproot and replant already? God's response, "Go, and you will see, and you will know." After an interview visit in June, I knew this was a place I could be, but was not convinced. A time of prayer and meditation followed. Lord, don't move the mountain, but give me the strength to climb it. Please don't move that stumbling block, but lead me, Lord, around it. The way may not be easy. You didn't say that it would be. For when my tribulations get too light, I tend to stray from thee. So I'm singing, Lord, don't move the mountain, no. Just give me the strength to climb it. And please don't move that stumbling block, but lead me, Lord, around it. Now when my foes would slay me, and these things they will try to do, oh Lord, don't touch them, but within their hearts make them give their hearts to you. And I'm singing, Lord, don't move the mountain. No, just give me the strength to climb it. And please don't move that stumbling block, but lead me, Lord, around it. Our cares we bring unto you. You told us that we could, for you help the
help themselves, and I believe we should. So I'm singing, Lord, don't move the mountain, no. Just give me the strength to climb it, and please don't move that stumbling block, but lead me, Lord, around it.
When the last amen was said, an invitation was issued, arrangements were made, bags were packed, goodbye parties abound, and the trek was made. Now that I have crossed the mountains and settled here to make Lancaster home for Tony and me, what will I do here? I will attempt to make this new home as much like the old ones as possible. I will create a home with doors that are always open, with enough food on the table to feed whomever happens to be around at mealtime. I will create a home that has a welcome mat out for people from all walks of life. I will create a home that is full of music and stories to be retold time and time again. I will create a home that is full of Christ love and promise of God's everlasting guidance. I will attempt to bring that Christ-centeredness with me as I enter this seminary to engage in ministry of love and journey with seminarians. I will attempt to be faithful to the call to forever be prayerful in every endeavor, even in giving the homecoming speech for the 1993 Alumni Day. And to you I say, sing the Lord's holy song wherever you are. Be about transforming strange lands into Christ-centered places that resemble home. Homes that are filled with music and stories to be told and told again. Homes that invite people to return to the place of their shaping to be replenished. Homes that send people out, always singing to the glory of God's name. In closing, I invite you to sing a song with me, a prayer for coming home, home to the places for each of us where stories of faith are told. It is a prayer for connection to our roots in God through Jesus Christ. It is a prayer that recognizes that we must come home to tell our piece of the story. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot,
coming for to carry me home.
I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. If you get there, before I do. Coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming to. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. I'm sometimes up and sometimes down. Coming for to carry me home, but still my soul is homeward bound. Coming for to carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home.